Luke 11. Luke 11. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, or better translated, double, thy whole body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now all that was the beginning or the predicate for something that he spoke right after this, as you'll see, that has to do with leprosy. Now remember, the worst kind of leprosy there is, and the leprosy that the entire world has, is the leprosy of the forehead. You can't see that leprosy if you're in the world or in Egypt. You can't see it if you're in the wilderness. You can't see it in Jerusalem. The only place you can see it is in that brief period of the promise between Jordan and the New Jerusalem and the Spirit. Now we're starting to see the leprosy. Now leprosy is rebellion against God, is the leprosy of the forehead. That's where you believe there's a thought that you have that isn't God. In other words, there is some activity or thought within you that doesn't originate in the fires of God. That's leprosy. For each of you today, 100 times, have had a thought that you didn't believe originated in the blood of God. That means you came in through that door in a leprous condition, because you permitted, once you saw it wasn't of God, the automatic response to that was, I've got to do something about it, or I've got to hide it. Either case, it caused raw flesh to be seen. You understand me? Now, in this analogy, if any raw flesh is seen, by definition, the eye is double, or therefore the eye is evil. If you think that there is any part of your being for which the Spirit and the fire and the blood of God hasn't originated, you by definition are double-minded. That's a biggie. You haven't been able to understand that until now. It's the best news there is in the history of the known universe. That every thought, every part of your being is of God. But it's the worst news to the Antichrist, to the head, to your mind. Because now he will not be able to gain righteousness in any way. Now the light, by definition, cannot shine as long as there is any darkness. And darkness is defined as that doubling, that duality. The light's still there, but it's under the bushel basket. You understand me? And it's under the bushel basket of your making. You wove it. You placed it on, and you've set it there. And the reason you've set it over you is because you want the opportunity to compare. That's the only reason men love the darkness, because in darkness they can compare. If you couldn't compare yourself, you'd be wiped out. Now can you see the tie to leprosy? Now let's see what Jesus does with this. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat, or to food. And when the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And again, you remember this custom. The custom of cleansing was integral to the law. Now, the fact of washing before dinner was not part of the law, but it became part of the Mishnah, the Talmudic, the oral tradition. And it was equally important, just as all of the washings in Passover, they then applied to the washings in their daily meals. It had nothing to do with hygiene, as modern people tell you. It had to do with the symbolic cleansing, those waters being the waters of cleansing from leprosy, from adultery, and from touching a dead body. That's the only reason the washings were extant. That's all the reason for the waters and the washing, the purification of those three conditions. You got it? Now the Pharisee, Christ went in at meat and ate at this Pharisee's house, and he did not participate in that part of the ceremony. That's a big deal. You know, it'd be like somebody coming in here and they didn't buy our liturgies. You know, we've got all this little language that we've developed. We've got all these little liturgies, including being late. That's now a liturgy. It's a development. It's just as liturgized as the priest standing up and saying, "Praise God, now you praise Him." You now come 30 minutes late. It's a liturgy. Your words, your expressions are the same kind of liturgies. When someone comes in and questions your liturgy, oh my God, I've got to justify it. Christ didn't justify it, He slayed them. Just as someone should slay us for any of our own liturgies. Whether it's in manner of speaking or in cliches or words or little private shit that we do that no one else can understand because they haven't been through it. When the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" But rather, in other words, instead of going through this process, give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you.
What was the tradition of alms?
just listen to what he said a minute. Give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are made clean unto you. Again, clean is a technical word. It has to do with the purification of lepers. You give alms of whatever you have. In other words, in this mystery of what we're about, the act of giving is the evidence that you're cleansed. That's a mind-blowing thing. Because it doesn't define what things you have. Now remember, it's tied to the light and the bushel basket and the doubling. Am I communicating? Are you seeing the connection? If you give alms of whatever it is that you have, Your eye is single automatically because you're not differentiating for yourself. You're no longer judging for yourself what is good or evil. And by the act of giving whatever you have as, if you will, pure, it's the evidence that you see that you're cleansed from the leprosy. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to first Peter. No, Titus, I mean. Rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment in the love of God. These you ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. One of the things he... I'll talk about that later. Titus.
Hold on a second. I don't understand that concept with or in that one little sentence without knowing what giving alms is. What does that mean?
Alms is like charity or giving away stuff to people, poor people or something.
Yeah, but
another way of translating that is, and it's a translation, is it says give away what's inside of you as charity.
Right.
And that's a direct translation of that. Another way of translating.
And that's what he means a little further down when he says you passed over judgment and the love.
Right. To give alms means let me show you. Let's go before we go to Titus to clarify that point. Go to Mark 7. What?
Did he have an offering going for Titus?
When was the last time we went to the New Testament?
How did we do that?
Verse 6. They were again asking why the disciples eat bread with unwashing hands. Okay? He answered them in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well, and again, this is the same subject area that addressed this issue, whether you went through this process, the ceremonial washing, prior to eating. Okay? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. That's what I was talking to you about liturgies and that we do. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Now what that means is, korban was the concept that something that you possessed was dedicated to the temple. And so that if your mother or father came to you in need, and your answer to them was, we can't meet your need because what we have here has been dedicated, it's not ours, because it's been dedicated to the temple. We can't meet your need. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is a common practice. And he used mother or father because that was obviously the worst position. Mm-hmm. Now, and you allow him or suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. In other words, it became not just an excuse by the party, it became a liturgy or a mishnah of the Pharisees. He couldn't help meet that need, because what he would have met the need with was dedicated to the temple.
It would have broken the tradition of what that
right.
cultural that's thing yourself, was. It would have become harder than the law.
Right.
More solid.
Now, the reason, and this lets us come more and more to the understanding why all of the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because what this permitted, this tradition, this thing, permitted or encouraged you not to see the one nearest you as your neighbor, whether it's your mother or your wife or your father or your mother or your sister or your brother or anybody else. You understand me?
This is kind of tantamount to saying I gave all this money to 700 Club or to the Foreign Mission Board
anything,
or something, and now I can't...
Anything like that. Know, I can't meet...
We're saving it to...
Right. I can't meet the need next to me because I've dedicated it.
Well, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was I can't meet this need because, you know, I'm too busy. I have to go to work.
Same
you
thing.
You know, it's Korban to work.
Hey, same thing.
And it's,
you know, it's dedicated to the God that...
Right. Whatever it is, your life cannot, by definition, once you are a believer, be busy. Your life as a believer, you can never again make a promise. If you make a promise where you promise time or money, you have dedicated that korban to that God. And if your neighbor, if that person, you can't live by spirit then. Do you understand me?
Yeah, this explains a lot.
Yeah, religion will always require you to make a promise or an oath, a commitment. Self-love will always cause their beloved to make promises to them. What you are doing for most of you in your marriages, because of your not knowing God, you are trying to korban, if you will, your time or love or whatever from your partner. And you've put him in bondage.
Even in the New Testament, where Paul talks about what happens in the church, the Holy Spirit, if one is talking and the other one begins to talk, the Holy Spirit
stops.
You know, it's like that's a universal law or something. There's no promise to continue to do whatever is going on at the moment.
And that's why, when you live in that position with no korban, nothing dedicated, nothing, you can by definition never be bored.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Am I communicating a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see its connection with leprosy? If you have dedicated it by promise or oath, you are now living in will worship. In other words, it's something of your mind. So it's flesh. Even if it's a promise of fidelity to your wife or husband. Do you understand me? The reason is that, to tie the loop, is that because you then cannot treat you as a free being, if you have dedicated korban, then you cannot ever see the person nearest you as your neighbor. Therefore, you can never love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, you can never walk in the Spirit. You know, in the ancient marriage ceremonies, they never, ever, ever once said what we do in the modern one. Do you promise to love, honor? I do. No. What they said was, do you give yourself to God. That was the I do, to both independent parties. And that's why the Kol Nidre, that thing done at Yom Kippur, when you absolved from all vows that you had made knowingly or unknowingly, was the most joyous occasion in Judaism. Just stop a minute. This sounds horrendous to the natural mind, that you cannot make a promise even to your beloved.
Yourself.
You cannot make a promise to yourself.
So giving alms is really understanding that the day of salvation is now, not in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then you can give freely of everything that's there without regard to what you believe it should be or shouldn't be.
You're not slipping into your New Year's resolution sermon, are you?
Like the Christmas sermon?
Okay, watch. If you say, but you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift or something dedicated, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you allow no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now, we don't do this obvious, but we do it in a thousand other ways. The moment you make a promise, you have dedicated that time to the wrong God, and you haven't redeemed the time.
This is great.
And it's the evidence of leprosy. A believer is never, ever, ever busy. That's going to wipe some of you out. A believer never, ever, ever. He always has an opportunity to love his neighbor. Because that's all you're here for. Because all the law is fulfilled in that. All of time and space is fulfilled in that. And if you have... stop and think of the lies of our culture. That's why God is... through what is taking place in us, and this, I mean, who in the hell would have thought that, I mean, when I started talking, I had no idea there'd be a stupid tribe of people be the result.
Tribe of stupid people.
Yeah, that too. But something has taken place by which more and more and more of you are in a position where you don't have to promise your time. And it'll be more and more and more. Now, for some of you, time is still a tutor and governor. Scheduling is still a tutor and a governor. Am I understand? Okay, now watch. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man.
Oh, wait a minute. I've always wondered about this. Especially in relation to the other one we read in Luke. But the idea, if you think about the leprosy, that once everything's out, then you see you're totally leprous and it all becomes clean.
Amen.
Tricky New Testament.
But it's simple.
Yeah.
Once you know the law says that you're not cleansed from leprosy until you know you're leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now Jesus is sneaking up on him. He said, there's nothing coming out of your mouth can defile you. Then he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples said, what the hell were you talking about?
Say what?
And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. In other words, in the same way your body takes all the garbage you eat, and it goes into your belly, and then the draught is...
The draught. Take a draught.
The same thing in the spirit. Your body delivers out. It takes what it needs from what you take into your body, and it... I mean, you'd have to be a rocket scientist of the 10th order if you had to control what you ate, truly, and to see which enzymes to digest and which things your body needs at every lung. The same thing is true in the spirit. There is nothing that entering into you can defile it, but it'll go out the draught. Part of that draught is confession, speaking what's there, prophesying, without you judging whether it's good or evil. You can't do that until you come to a position to find out that everything in you can't meet the standards of the law. Therefore, your mouth is shut up. Therefore, you see yourself as totally leprous. Therefore, from that moment forward, you can, from you, flow rivers of living water. Well, anyway, let's see what he said. Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out to the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, that defile the man. As long as you think you have the propensity for good, then you will not ever hear this. Therefore, you will never know you're leprous. Therefore, you will always hide. Therefore, your eye will always be double. Therefore, the bushel basket will remain over you forever.
You won't dance.
You won't dance. Yeah. And you'll always try to light a false candle and put it on top of the bushel basket. Am I communicating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this verse says, whatever comes out of a man, it defiles him. The Luke verse says, it has to be given away as alms, and then it's clean. If it's not given away, you're defiled.
Right. Because you haven't given it all out.
Because
you've judged it, and therefore it's become flesh. It's become carnal. Okay, now watch. Go to Titus. Titus is just before Hebrews. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Now, to the pure in heart, all things are pure. Well, we're in deep trouble. By your definition of pure. You understand me? How many of you think that God has forsaken you in some arena today? How many believe that part of the temple is unclean? To the pure in heart, all things are pure. It doesn't say all things that I define as pure are pure. Do you understand the trick that God has pulled on the world?
What a trick.
He's taken the offscoring of all things, the base, the foolish. He's taken you to the point where until you know that you are totally leprous, the word pure here is simply another word, translation of the word clean. You can't be clean until you know you're totally leprous. From that point forward, you give alms of such things as you have, without regard to what's there. And it's the evidence that you're clean. It's mind-blowing. You got it? Now we're going to study. The reason I had to study this now instead of the next thing we'll study in leprosy is the actual cleansing process with the two sparrows and the blood and the tips of the ears and the head of the nose and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to see that as long as you're living in this arena where you're dedicating yourself, you're promising yourself, you're korbaning, then you, by definition, have to be leprous. The reason is, from God's standpoint, you cannot love your neighbor as yourself until you have no more promises. And then you come, you know, you make no distinction. It's the neighbor is the one you can never, you have to look at. He's the one you look at with blind. You got to be blind to see your neighbor. In other words, you don't look at them after the flesh. You can't even have a wife until she's first your neighbor. Am I communicating? No more promises.
One night a long time ago, we talked about, I don't remember what it was, whether it was an oral tradition or what, but there were like, I think there were three things that one could do, and one of them was doing alms.
Yeah, alms and prayer and fasting were
right.
Three biggest.
And this thing he said about giving whatever's there, see that it is giving, that it is the doing of alms.
Amen. Yeah.
When you don't judge what it is the same as doing alms.
It is the same. It is the giving.
It
alms.
Is the doing of alms.
It's like, you know, the praying, when you see that every thought you have is a prayer, then you're praying continually.
And the flip side of it is that the doing the bombs is the giving what's there without nothing.
You see, that's why I'm sick and tired of you guys judging yourselves. When you judge yourself, you can't give alms of what things as you have. All you do is you run around and take yourself seriously, which really gets boring. I mean, I'm really bored with that.
Well, it's like picking through your dung to decide what you're going to throw away and what you're going to keep.
Yeah, you find a kernel of corn in my dung that was undigested. Let's do better.
Sorry,
and take a break. Does anybody have anything else? Does everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah, too much.
It's not too much. It's good news.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
this is
great.
Yeah. Now I know, you know, we can read it, but now I know what this thing about giving heed to Jewish fables means. He's talking about the oral tradition, that stuff.
Oh, that's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Denise and I had talked just before coming here about, you know, I mean, it was exactly what had gone on. I had, you know, said korban to her about something, but then, you know, I saw that. And it's like there's the risk is to not ever say that, but then she said she felt freedom from that. That was the whole way. I mean, it's the flip side.
You know what's funny about that? That's what David did when he ate of the grain. You know, when he was going by and he was hungry, he took of the grain that was dedicated to the temple.
It was the, yeah. He did, no, he took the grain and he ate the showbread.
Ate the showbread.
Anybody else?
It's corn.
Take it, big guy.